Father, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for being our Father. We have gathered here at this family reunion. Because we are not here gathered as Christians, religious people. We are not gathered here at any of our occasions, but we have gathered here as your children. I thank you that we can be called your children. And forgive us, Father, whenever we think about ourselves in any other way than being your children. Forgive us, Lord, when we treat our lives, our calling, and election any lower than being your children. I pray this morning that you would open our minds, that we would see you in our midst. Open our eyes, Lord, that we would see you in our midst in this place, as well as in the midst of our lives. Lord, we would see the purpose of yours. We would really understand who we are and who we ought to be. Father, we need your help. We are children of God. We need to become sons of God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us our childishness. Forgive us, Lord, where we are still so low and behaving as the children of the world. Forgive me, Father. Regardless of all our shortcomings, we are dedicating you this morning and our souls. And we want to, in this hour, we want to take advantage of the time, of the place, of the people gathered here. And Father, we do need you to speak to us. You're humbly requesting your royal presence. We want to bow down to you, give you the glory. And as we will be looking at you, we want to be changing into your image. I thank you, Father, for who you are and for what you want to make out of us. Father, I need your help as I speak here. I need you to flow through me. Lord, we so badly need anointing. We so badly need your presence and the flow. We don't have it without you. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. It is a privilege to be here if we understand what we are doing here. Amen. This morning, as we are singing, a thought was coming through my mind. And, you know, on the plane here, actually, it is it's a nice smooth ride from Heathrow to here. I love it. I love the longer, the better. I do a lot of things. I pack my briefcase. I've got, you know, the different folders with the different businesses. And before we land, most of it is done and email answered, you know, books read. It's beautiful. Anyway, one of the things they offer you in the plane is movies. And for the last 2 years, I don't even try look because there's nothing. So I don't give it a chance, which was a mistake. But my daughter helped me. She says, Dad, there actually is a movie you might want to watch. And I did. And it was called The Queen. It is a movie about the Queen Elizabeth, especially when Diana, the princess, died, and little around. It's more historical, a little bit hysterical, but that will be perhaps part of it. I've seen last few years. I've seen a couple short movies or documentary on the royal family, especially on Queen Elizabeth, perhaps as part of homeschooling and, you know, teaching the children. But there's a little aspect why I like it. You could perhaps misinterpret it. What I feel in a way, in some aspect, like the Queen Elizabeth. Because, forgive me, but I do feel royal. In a way, maybe more royal than the Queen Elizabeth. And one of the things, I was born again when I was your age. I'm kind of, showing here, pick. But it was somewhere there. And when I was born again, and then came into this world, to make the long story short, one of the biggest revelations that I understood was that there is not a God and then people. My understanding first was there is no God, okay? But then the church told me there is a God, which was good news, and he will save me, and I go to heaven, which is good news. But then when I came into this world, the news became, I wouldn't even say better, it became absolutely fantastic. Because I started to understand the concept that we are the same kind with God. That God is the King. He is the Lord. He is the Creator. And I'm His Son. Son to be, maybe. Maybe child and son to be. But, this is totally changing. And it was changed. It changed my perspective. Try to imagine somehow that you would realize today, somehow you get a letter or something happens and you realize actually that you are a royal family. Perhaps we have to choose British because I don't see any other around necessarily. But imagine somebody comes to you, and they tell you, you're royal. You know what I'm saying? What would it change? How would it change your thinking? Dear children, and forgive me, it's kind of part of teasing. I tease my little children that they are children and they kind of, wouldn't like it, but that's part of teasing. So I'll extend it to you. So I'll call you children if you don't mind. God calls us children, so that should be okay. Imagine, children, what it would be like, how it would change your perspective. Because one of the problem, and I was born again, as I said, being your age, one of the problem of the teenage, or the age that you are in, is that you're asking the big questions, aren't you? The little babies, they are asking small questions. Where's my toy, and what do I do, But now you're asking the big questions, and they are serious questions. Yeah. What do I do with my life? Why am I here? Yeah. What is my calling? What is so special on me? Whom should I please? How should I conduct my life? Why should I, and should I really please my parents and the church and the elders and this, why am I doing some of these things? Why am I wearing some of these things? Why am I not doing some of these things? These are fair questions. And frankly, when God revealed to me, I'm part of a royal family, most of it is settled. I know why. I don't consider myself, and I don't consider you, to being a people. You know what I mean? I don't consider you to be just humans. I don't consider us and me to be just somebody in this world without a purpose, living life, feeding family, having kids and grandkids and die. That wouldn't satisfy me. So this morning we should be talking about Daniel, but specifically about his three friends. You need to help me in English. Is it Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego?
Shadrach and Shadrach.
Okay. So that would be the three. Sometimes you have to help me with, you know, we have the names a little different in Czech, of course. But if you look at this story, by the way, who were there? Who were they? Where did they come from? Huh? Israel? And you said? They were princes. Do you know which tribe? Judah, yes, well done. Very good. They were Judah. Do you know anybody else coming from Judah? Huh? David? And therefore, Jesus. Okay. So, you know, they were princes. And I was thinking about it. They were there without parents. Imagine somebody takes you and puts you in the middle of Babylon, in the middle of the world. But now you don't have your friends around. Maybe two friends, but you don't have your family around. And I was thinking, Lord, what did they feed them with at home? Did you think about it? I mean, it didn't happen just like this, did it? They must have been fed something at home. Something organic, Oliver is saying. Well, yes, spiritual organic, for sure. But imagine, think about it with me for a moment. You have to have something in you that you have such a determination. You have such a belief. I mean, from one perspective, God has abandoned you. You know what I mean? All your dreams, all your promises, all your nation, all your church, if you want, is dumped. Right? All you believed doesn't seem to be, all you believe doesn't seem to be happening. Anybody feels like this? Aha. You know, and you can look at a few more people. Look at Joseph. In the middle of prison, in the middle of this situation, with all these dreams, he had all, every logic would suggest, hey, whatever I was promised is not happening. Amen? And you know, there must have been something that these people were fed with that helped them in the midst of any situation not to lose faith and to behave. By the way, if you expect me, I'll answer, no. I expect you to answer. You know, it's very comfortable today to be here preaching, because anytime I don't know, I can sit down and pretend it's your job and make you answer, okay? So, I will actually have you to answer this. I hope we find together the mind of the Lord. But before we go there, which we will in a minute, do you know, have you ever seen or touched the queen? You call it the queen bee queen? Yeah, queen bee, okay. Anybody seen queen bee? Yeah, I see. Hands up. Yeah, we had little, you know, in our fellowship, we had little butter and honey seminar where we were working on butter and making our own butter, you know, and also honey. And we went and visited a place with the beehives, and actually they pulled out, I don't know how you call it, a frame, you know. Okay. So they pulled out a frame. It was full of bees. And he says, let me find the queen. And yes, in the middle there was a queen. You know, it was bigger. You know, you know how the queen is created? Royal jelly. Yeah. If that's how you call it. But that's it. I mean, imagine. You know, if you take the little something, forgive me, biology is not my best subject, but you take the little something that a bee comes out of, okay? You compare it with another one for a regular bee. Do you know what's the difference? Nothing. There's no difference. Okay. Let me translate it. When you were born. Okay, forgive me. When Jesus was born, do you think he was screaming any other way than when you were born? No, he was not. The royal scream, somebody said. No. So, in a way, what makes the difference is what you are fed with. Amen? You can be special if you are fed special. You can make it. You can make it to the calling God intended from the beginning if you are fed properly. And by the way, you are now at the king's table. The real king. I don't mean the bad king. I mean the Babylon king. I mean the good king. And if you get hold of it, if you really understand what God is saying, and if you start feeding yourself on the, how did you call it, royal jelly? Amen. If you start feeding yourself on the royal jelly, on the word of God, it'll change your mind. Amen. It'll change you in a way that you become overcomers. And you go and obtain the calling God had from the beginning. Because God also has a purpose. He created us with something in mind. With the potential we have. Amen? So, there's this. By the way, I don't want to halt anybody who doesn't want to be here. Okay, so if you don't feel you want to aspire, if you're not interested in the royal calling, if you want just to be people, this is the wrong place. So I'm sure there's a ball somewhere outside. You can go and play a ball, or you can do whatever you want, you know, do your school. Only those who are interested in... No. I mean, this is serious business. This is serious business because we will require some sacrifices. You know, when the queen, and if you watch some of the movies or little documentaries, you know, the royal family, they cannot behave the same way as we do. You know, they are stripped of certain freedoms. You don't like to hear that, right? You know, part of the teenage thing is fight for freedom. No rules. Freedom. I want to decide. Well, if you're a queen or prince, princess, actually there's a lot of things you cannot do. Did you know that? In the movie, by the way, you know, when Tony Blair was elected, she said, I wish I could go to elections. I said, well, ma'am, it's your parliament. It's your MPs. She says, I know. But still, it would be nice to go to elections. Do you know that the queen cannot vote? Of course not. That's her parliament. You know. And she says, to throw this little thing into the box, that's not important. But to form an opinion. Do you know that the queen never ever can say her political opinion? By the way, do you know what is her political opinion? The current parliaments. Did you know that? If you ask the queen, what does she think about some political situation in the world, they tell her what she thinks. Did you know that? There's a lot of things the queen can and cannot do. You know. And all the people would say, well, I want to be royal. And you know, if you look at the princes, how was it? I don't want to mess it up again. Was it Meshach first? Shadrach. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Thank you. So, they were princes. And I believe what they were fed with from the childhood, they were telling them, you're a princess. You are not a nominal people. This is what Joseph was fed with. And this is why they were fed up with him. The brothers. Because he believed that he's something special. He started to understand the calling they have as a family. He was listening to the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, of course, his father. He was understanding that actually they left Babylon. He was understanding all this and the concept therefore, thereof. And when he was faced in Egypt with situations, he says, I can't. Because I'm not just somebody. There's a calling on my life. I don't know how God is going to do it. It's a mystery to me. And yes, I go through frustrations. We all do. You know, sometimes you lose faith, you don't see things happening, and you know, but still in the middle, you have the word. So, I kind of feel bad. I hate to erase it. Did somebody take a picture of this? You did. Somebody did. Or you're about to. You can. If somebody take a picture of it, and then later you can redeem it, because there's good stuff there, and then I can erase it and don't feel bad. You know, you read a scripture from Galatians 5:19, and you kind of go over it, and we know it. But then when you list it here, slowly, and discuss it, and you kind of go home, and you are thinking, oh my, oh me. It's a list, isn't it? So, I want you now, you can create small groups, and think for a while, work for a while in the groups, and then come and write nicely that we can read it. That's the important part. Huh? What? I'm just about to tell you. And I want you to be now thinking about your life. And look at your life, frankly. Be frank. Okay? And look at the calling you have. Look at the parents you have. By the way, you don't know how lucky is not a good word, blessed. How blessed you are having some of the parents you have. You know, it's you don't know what blessing you have. So, in a way, it's not blessing only, is it? Huh? Sometimes it would be easier, not nicer, but easier to have more compromising parents, wouldn't it? To have parents with lower vision, with lower expectation, right? It's being in this word and being brought up in this word brings its own challenges, doesn't it? Yeah. So why don't we split it kind of I'll make a line there, and I would like you to discuss among yourselves, and write down just words, no sentences, just words. Write down what are the benefits, if you want, the pluses of being royal, and what are the demands or the sacrifices you have to make, or things that you're losing because of being royal. Now, do you understand this? Are you sure? So give me an example of each. Give me one example of each. Inheritance. And is it a plus or minus? Plus, okay. So if you are royal, one of the benefits is you have inheritance. And then be more specific. So every time you use a word like this, I want you to be thinking about yourself. What does it mean for you? What kind of inheritance do you get? What really do you get? You can find a scripture if you want. But I want to speak about you. I don't want you to give me a, you know, religious or churchy exercise. You know what I'm saying? It's not, it's us, it's for us. It's not for anybody else. If we don't get something out of it, let's not do it. You know what I'm saying? Let's speak about our own things. So what do you get out of it? And give me some minus. Give me some sacrifice or negative. Anybody? Yes? The plus was, say again louder. I think it was right, but I didn't hear it properly.
The royal family, the queen of England, is all one for
She owns 1/4 of the surface of the earth.
So that's a plus.
Okay, it's part of the inheritance. It's part of the inheritance. No, frankly, you know, it is a mentality that you should have. Let me interpret it for you. It's the mentality of Abraham. You know, some people have mentality of Lot, which is actually a mentality of few. Okay? So it's not a lot, it's Lot. Right? And the mentality of Lot is actually, the world is small and is limited. You know? The mentality of Abraham is, Lot, you choose. You pick. You want to have my car? You want to have my toys? You want to have my sheep? I mean, it doesn't matter where you go, you choose, I go elsewhere. It's the mentality of, well, I own 1/4. And actually, from Abraham's point of view, he says, my father is God. I'm a child of his. I own the whole thing. Amen. In principle. So, pick. You know what I'm saying? It's a mentality of freedom. You don't have your little property. You own the whole thing. Amen. And only the question is where God allows you to stay. The queen cannot be sitting at the same place at all the places. So, of course, in a way, she has a similar life to us. She's always being on 1 square meter, square foot actually, you know. But the mentality is, I'm not limited. So very good. Tell me negative.
You don't get to do things that normal young people would do.
Like? It's a good one. It's exactly where I'm heading. Thank you. Like what normal young people do and we cannot or shouldn't do it being royal children?
Partying.
Party, okay. You know.
There was
actually the queen did go to party. The queen did. The world war was over. Okay. The world war was over. And she said, everybody went, even the royal family, they went to celebrate. Hallelujah, the war is over. You know what I mean? They are throwing a party. There was a major debate. And she really wanted to go. Finally, they did allow her to go. And they limited her bodyguards to 16 only. So yes, she went to visit the party, you know, with 16 people. And of course, when you come to the party and they know their royal family is there, they do start behaving different, trust me. And no, she was not able and she couldn't do the things they were doing, and no, she couldn't wear the things they were wearing, but yes, she could go to party. So you're absolutely right. Well, I think you understand the point. I will not limit you in time. Do form groups. I limit you in the groups. Have maximum 5 people in the groups. And please, 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 don't form it in a way, my family and their family, you know. Czechs and Americans and Africans and Mahometans and Texasans, you know. Can you somehow mingle and start thinking about it and start putting things on and then we will discuss it. And it's about you, it's not about a queen only. Praise the Lord. Now, the next exercise will be actually very simple. See if you can be quiet. You are doing good. That's pretty good. It didn't even take long. That's very good. Praise the Lord. Thank you. It helps. It's very difficult to talk when too many people are talking. So forgive me. But we do need to have some quiet. Well, I was very impressed. I've seen some of these things and they are very real, aren't they? When you look at it, you know, it's very real. The only thing I need to get some interpretation on, please. The free healthcare. I don't know how to, is it positive or negative, or how do we, you know, how do we... let's understand it and interpret it positively, okay? Let's interpret it positively. Because I would have many ideas why and where it wouldn't be. Okay? Because the word free. Many people interpret the word free as somebody else will pay for it. Okay, so if you interpret the word free as somebody else will pay for it, then forget it. If you understand it and the good connotation, then praise the Lord. Okay, good. So, let's just say this is the positive and negative. All right. So, the difference between us and the queen is, she hasn't really chosen the job. She was born to it. You know, she didn't decide in the womb whether she wants to be born or not. You have born again, not by the will of anybody else but you. So you're born into a royal family by your own decision. Amen? You are not born to Christian family by your decision. True. But you are born again into the royal family by your own decision. So, why I'm saying all this? Why I'm saying all this? Do you know the devil's trick? He's playing all the years, and he's playing on you. Do you know what the devil does with this list?
You're not royal.
No, he says you're royal, actually, because he can't deceive you anymore. Well, maybe yes, you're right. He plays a few tricks. One of the tricks is he's saying, no, it's not true. And that's the spirit of unbelief. It doesn't apply to you. But when you believe, it does apply to you. Is there still so many people talking? It's nice, isn't it? Please, I don't mind if you talk. It's okay. But please do it on the porch. Okay, so if you have something urgent you need to discuss, that's not a problem, but please do it outside. We kind of hear the moving and it's not very comfortable, please. So, what is the devil doing with this list? So, can you say it loud? It's very good.
He's showing us the negative things about it.
And the other thing he's doing is hiding.
Yeah, he's hiding the positive things.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The devil, how was it, children? How was it, children, in the garden? How many trees were there in the garden? Hundreds? Anytime you Google picture about the garden, usually there is one tree.
Yeah.
Wrong garden or wrong Google. Something is wrong. If you ask people, you know, and say, do you know, what did the Garden of Eden look like? Well, there was in the middle this huge tree which they couldn't eat of. And that's what they picture. That's what they think. Because this is what the devil is trying to do. Isn't it so? He says, he came to Eve, didn't he? And what did he say? Help me.
Has God said?
No. That's not what he said. What did the devil say? No, 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 that's true too. But how did he start?
Did God say?
Did God say it's good? Yes, that was, did God say? But how did he start? You can find it, fine, you can, you know, that's no cheating. Aha! Uh-huh. Can you say on the mic again?
Just a second. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
Did you notice that? There is hundreds of trees in the garden, and there is one you shouldn't eat of, and now the devil is trying to make the opposite. Actually, he's trying to say that God said that we shouldn't eat of any of the trees. In other words, the devil is trying to say, do you realize God is robbing you of all the goods? God is robbing you of all the goodies. And he hides all this and he makes this big. Isn't it so? Eve correctly answers, "No, no, 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 no. That's not what God said." She said, we can eat all the trees from all the trees. There's only one tree we cannot eat. You know. And now we are fighting this mentality. I am trying to disclose you the trick of the devil on you, princes and princesses. Because the devil is telling you all the time, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot. And unless you understand who you are and what do you get, you will not have the strength not to bow to the image. You know what I'm saying? If you spend all your mental energy thinking what you cannot do, rebelling against do's and don'ts, then you will not be able to make it.
Amen.
It is impossible. We have seen, and listen, we sit here, and maybe you remember last year and the years before and the 5 years before, there were other young children sitting, and they're not sitting here anymore.
Yeah.
It is a serious business. It's not us talking a theory. And when the people are looking at this list, and, you know, some people talk to us, and they look at this, and they allow the devil to change their perspective, and instead of believing they're royal, they actually believe they're limited.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, I shouldn't, I must, you know. But God wanted, and he wants us to understand what is our calling and election, who we are in him. And then this list, the negative, actually, surprisingly, is not negative anymore.
That's right.
You realize that it's actually easy. Because the Lord says, my yoke? It's easy. My burden is light. Okay. So, free health care. We should realize. It shouldn't be. No. That's nothing with abomination here, okay? The thing is, please realize that we have access in spirit to something nobody else has. We have seen unbelievable things happening in our midst. You can pray. You know, sometimes things are happening, we don't understand exactly why, but we do know God wants us to grow into position where the health, the divine health, is part of inheritance as well as the ability to heal. God will call some of you and you will pray for people and they will be healed. Maybe some of you already have prayed and people were healed. We have, in our midst, we had unbelievable healings of cancer right on the spot. In the last stage. Many, 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 perhaps we could spend the time listing these things. And we have people who would call some of the people in our fellowship, you know, people from outside, where they are kind of playing with God, and when they are in need, they pray, and somebody would pray with them on the phone, and they would get healed. It is available to us. I mean, that by itself, what would people pay for? You know what I mean? And we have available health care. Of course, if you obey and follow, that helps. Positive influence. Or here it's authority over spirits. Do you know that there are spiritual somebodies and spiritual nobodies?
Hallelujah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Give me a scripture. If you know that, it must be based on the Bible. So give me a scripture about spiritual somebodies and spiritual nobodies. Where is it?
There were seven sons of Siva, and they went to cast out a spirit out of a man.
Yes.
I believe they said, "We adjure thee by
Jesus,
the God that Paul preached. And they said, "Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are ye?"
Excellent answer.
Jump right back.
Fantastic answer, isn't it? Fantastic answer. That's exactly what I had in mind. So, the spiritual world is saying, Jesus we know, Paul we know. In other words, Paul is somebody in the spirit who's known, but who are you? You know what I mean? So, you have authority to be over spirits, to rebuke spirits. I mean, nobody has it. People are afraid of spirits, and spirits are afraid of you. What is the thing you have above your bed? Can I tell on you that she's up? How is it? I like it, actually.
Be kind of a woman. When your feet touch the ground in the morning, the devil goes, "Oh no, she's up."
Did you hear that? You should be the kind of woman when your feet touch the ground in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, she's up." You know what I'm saying? People are afraid of spirits, and spirits are afraid of you. That's why the devil is trying to involve you with a lot of other things, because if you resist the devil, he will be fleeing from you. It's the queen doesn't have the authority, but you do. You have positive influence. I don't know how to read it, whether you have positive influence over you, or whether you can influence people, but both is right. You know, you can actually, you're called to influence the environment around you. You have the authority, you have the power to be the salt of the earth. It's not that, the on one hand there's peer pressure, but peer pressure is good, because you are the pressure. You should be pressing your peers. You know what I mean? You have authority. I remember once, it was unbelievable, there was Toronto Blessing. Do you know what Toronto Blessing is? This is the crazy so-called spiritual movement, you know, of people barking and rolling and doing all crazy stuff. And it came close to us, it was in some place, and I happened to be there, and I couldn't believe it. So I went and visited, I was in the tent. And people are doing all crazy things. And I just stood and prayed. And in diameter around me, it stopped. It stopped. And people are kind of, you know, picking themselves from the... And I said, this is interesting. So I moved to a different corner of the tent. And it stopped. And I said, oh, wow. So then I moved to another corner. If a tent would have a corner. But anyway, you know. And it stopped again. And I was thinking, it's unbelievable. You know, what is going on? And a lady noticed me, and she came to me and says, "What are you doing here?" And I says, "Well, I'm just observing what's going on and praying." And she says, "No, I know what you're doing. You're disturbing the spirit." And I said, "Well, I hope I am, but that was not my intention, actually, but it seems I am." So I notice you walk from corner to corner, and wherever you are, the Holy Spirit stops moving. And I said, "But it's not the Holy Spirit." Anyway, she, you know, sent me outside. But you don't know what influence you have. You know, what influence we have in our families, what influence we have in our communities. We should stop being afraid that they will influence us. We should start influencing others. You can influence so many people. You know, you can influence, if you want, in your age, the king. You can influence the... Look at the Bible stories. You are not called to be on defense. You are called to be on offense. You know what I'm saying? You are never alone. You know, it is an unbelievable thing. Maybe I can tell you over lunch or some other time. When I was 16 or whatever, you know, I was cast out of my home. I had nobody, no mother, father, nobody, you know, who would take care of me, give me finances, give me money, anything. You know, who would be washing my clothes, asking me if I have eaten, putting me to bed. I had total freedom, if you want. I didn't care for it. I wanted somebody who will be interested in me. Somebody who will ask me anything. But God was. And He was there with me. It didn't matter how alone I am. God was always faithfully there. In every life situation, when I messed up or did it right, God was always there. They don't have it. The world doesn't have it. You know what I mean? Wealth. That's, you know, it has health and wealth. You have unbelievable access, immediate access to unlimited resources for your life. God in His wisdom will not give it to you, to your disposal, because you will mishandle it. It's like my children. How much money do you think Lisa has? My 7 years old. None? Wrong. Good thought, but wrong. Any other guess? $5? More than that? 50? Everything I own. Is it to her disposal? No, of course not. I don't give her a credit card and bank account, and I don't give her a car and my house and all this. Eventually, yes. So, it's only the perspective. In other words, you have unlimited resources, except God didn't give you access to it yet. But think about it in this way. You know what I mean? And I could give you stories from my own life and from life of others. Royal robes. You know, I don't know why there's such a fuss about the clothing. Clothing. Why there is this fuss about it? What do we have to wear and how long it should be? You know, I think that the devil is deceiving you. You don't see the beauty of it. You can wear it. And when you start wearing the clothes of God, it makes everybody else jealous. And that's why they make the fuss about it. You know, but maybe I shouldn't say it. I don't know how you take it, but you know, always when we go with the children, I am so proud father. And especially if we go and we take other families and there is a lot of them, you know, I go and I let them go and I watch the people who watch us. It's amusing. You know what I mean? I remember, forgive me, but I remember we go on a bridge in Prague and the girls go and they talk. And there's this mother and a teenage boy. And the boy goes and his jaw drops. You know, and he sees, you know, the girls passing by, beautifully dressed, in the middle of everybody half naked because it's the world. It's a summer in Prague, you know, and we overheard the mother say, "Oh, what a difference, isn't it?" And she says, "Oh, you bad." Forgive me, I hope this is not, somebody's not taking it. You know, if you really see how God sees things, you would never fight the clothesline and these things. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you have to wear. You can wear. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. And don't let the devil deceive you. Protection, absolutely. Reliance on God. We have God. Hope. Friend in Jesus. Unconditional care. Integrity. People can trust you. Honesty. The fruit of the Spirit. I mean, the true peace. You know, the media and Hollywood, they are lying to us. They are picturing all these beautiful things. It doesn't exist. Go and ask them. Find it. Find that happy life in Hollywood. It doesn't exist. Huh? The happy relationship, you know, I never had such a good friends and such a true friendship as among the brethren. All the other things is deception. They will dump you in any minute. Throw you under a bus. Knowledge of the Bible. You have source of information. You know, people are asking us about politics and this and this and that. You go to Bible, you find it. People make major discoveries and then you read it in Bible and say, hey, just follow the scriptures. I'm in management books, you know, because this is what I'm doing. So here and there somebody sends me something and I read. And I said, yeah, the principle is great, but it's a very simple principle, which is in the Bible. They only keep discovering the Bible. And you have it. You have a purpose of life. Merry royalty. Merry royalty. Someone there for you, special food, purpose in life. Repeating ourselves, which is good. It's looking at it from different angles. Okay. So let's look at the negative. Huh? Oh, there's more here. No fear of death. You know, look at the boys who didn't bow. You can say, if you didn't know the story till the end, you would be there and you would be so sorry for them. If you know the story till the end, you're so envying them. You know what I'm saying? If you look at it, I mean, imagine I would tell you the end of the story among your peers and say, listen, they are going to throw you to a fire. You will not feel anything. It will not actually hurt. You know, it'll be fun. Jesus will be coming there, standing and talking to you. And then, you know, everything will be loosed. You leave it. And they say, oh, absolutely unbelievable. And they'll start worshiping the Lord. Would you go for it? I would. I mean, it's fun. You know what I mean? In a good sense. If you know the story till the end, it's something you get. It's not sacrifice. It's not negative, is it? Well, they didn't know if it'll be this story or any other story, but they knew one thing. They said, King, it does not matter how it'll be happening. Our Lord can surely save us. And if he doesn't, we go to heaven anyway. So you have absolutely no power over us. You know, Jesus was telling, when he was being crucified, he says, you have only the power my Father gave you. If he decides otherwise, you cannot crucify me. You know what I mean? So you have no fear of death. Why would you be afraid of death when you know you're living forever? Knowing the truth. True relationships. You have authority. Not sure what this means. Part of the body of Christ. Absolutely. Extend the body. Free prisoners and captives. Yeah, that would be the authority, I suppose. But I want to look at the negative. Limited media. What does that mean? It's like limited food, right? Okay. So, what you are saying, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. What you are saying, there are certain things you cannot watch. Or shouldn't. Okay, let me translate it. There are certain things you cannot eat. Right? So what is the food you shouldn't be eating? Junk food. Poison. Okay. Oh, poor you. So if I understand correctly, God forbids you to eat poison. And this is what we struggle with. Well, I know why we do, because we don't see it as a poison. It tastes good. Okay, so why don't we pray, Lord, Father, open our eyes that we would see the poison in the food. Do you know your God is a good God? If there would be anything good for you, he would be the first one to give it to you. True? So, when he's saying, like parents saying, don't do this, don't watch this, don't listen to this, is because he has a knowledge that maybe you're lacking. You know what I'm saying? He has a knowledge and he knows there's something that will hurt you or eventually kill you. So the seemingly, and I did put it in, you know, quotes, because it's not really negative. Limited media is, you know, that you are not allowed to eat poison. And there's good reason for it. I remember once I was in your age and somebody was challenging me and says, hey, I understand you cannot, you know, you cannot go out and have a date with a girl as a Christian. And I said, oh yeah, you know. And he says, and you cannot drink? And I said, oh yeah. I said, there is a big list of things we cannot do as Christians. And he said, oh no, really? And I said, yes. Like, I cannot take a nail, you know, and push it to my back, to my bum. And he says, what? Why would you do this? And I said, exactly. And the whole list is like this. I told him, you know what I mean? There is a lot of things we cannot do as a Christians because they are stupid things to do. And we have God who's advising us and say, don't jump from a plane without a parachute. You know, don't eat poison. Don't put your fingers into electrical socket. Don't date with a girl you meet and you don't want to marry. Don't go to party. Don't drink poison / alcohol. You know, don't smoke poison. You know, there's a lot of things God is giving us list we shouldn't do. And if you look at it, you know, and if you have some sense, you actually realize, I don't want to do it anyway. Why should I? Guard our mouth. Well, do you realize the power you have in the Word? Do you know that you are creators? Your Father is a creator. Amen? Did you try to speak a word in faith and create something? Do you know you can? It's scary. You know, you have power. I mean, listen, if there are situations, do you have situations that you want to change around you? Do you know God has given you the power? You can speak to it. And if you speak in agreement with God, things will be happening. So now you can create something, okay? Or you can create and hurt somebody. So guarding your mouth, it's in the same way. Sir, how do you carry your rifle? Safely. How is it? Tell me, I don't know.
Barrel down.
Barrel down. What else?
Safety.
Safety on. How is it? What does it mean? Okay, so why do you do two things? Why one is not enough?
One's not enough because, well, if you drop the rifle and if you point it at the ground, that's good. But what if you drop it, it's not pointing at the ground anymore. Now it's pointing at somebody's feet.
Okay.
So and the safety isn't enough because same reason.
So you do it because you have power in the rifle and you want to use it only when you want to use it and bless somebody in a good sense. Okay. like bless the people of yours by not blessing somebody else. Okay. But you know there's a power and you have to guard it.
Yes.
In the same way, we need to guard our mouth because there's power in it. If you realize that you have a power, guarding your mouth is not something that you say, well, I have to as a Christian. You know, do you feel bad that you have to guard your weapon? No. It makes all sense, doesn't it? And by the way, if you see somebody, you know, soldier, that is kind of not well trained or he's got an attitude and he's carrying his rifle, you know, and all this, what would you tell him?
Well, he'd probably get chewed out pretty well.
Oh, yes. You know.
And if he didn't fix what he was doing, he'd have the weapon removed from him.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
So you have to look at it and say, God, explain me why I have to do this. And when he gives you the reason, you realize, God, it actually makes sense. It makes all sense. Please help me to guard my weapon. Because if you say a word, the word can create or destroy. What do you want to do? You know, limited clothes. Oh, yes, of course. You know, it's such a freedom. Recently, I managed to buy a shirt for swimming. I love it. No, it's really good because the previous shirts I had, this is the cotton. And it's kind of a, you know, you go swimming on the beach and then you come out and the cotton shirt is kind of funny on you. But I managed to buy a shirt which is for the surfers. It works pretty good, actually. It's very comfortable, you know. And you feel so good. You're on a beach. You know, you have your shorts, you have the t-shirt, and you feel so good. You know what I mean? You're not exposed and all this. So actually, I am so blessed I can wear what I want. You know, and I feel so free. And I walk around and I see some of the people envying me. They have to be naked. You know what I mean? They don't feel as comfortable. You know, they pretend they do. But they wish they could. But they are not as free as me. You know, it's freedom to wear things. You know what I mean? It's freedom. You don't need to be naked. Negative. Friends. You can have all the good friends. And you don't need to have the bad friends. Meshach. Not again. How was it? How did it start? Shadrach. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You know, that was the good friends. God is giving you good friends that will encourage you. And the friends who you are going to lose were never friends at all. Right. Amen. So, I actually gained more friends when I came to God and became royal family. And they are true friends. You know, these people, they would lay down their life for me. And in some difficult situation of my life, they did. They spend their own money, they spend their own time, they care, you know what I mean? I can depend on them. I never had such a good friendships. And you know what is interesting? I have friends regardless of age. Sometimes I tell my friends, you know, say, well, I have a, recently, a few years back, I was saying, well, I had a, you know, we were traveling with my friend to Africa, you know, and I was saying something, and they realized he's a bit older than me. And I say, what kind of friend, and how old is he? Because of some things I was saying. And I said, well, I don't know, 78 years old. You know, I was talking to my brother, Lucille. I said, you have a friend who is 80 years old. And I said, yeah, what's wrong? I said, it's weird. And I say, I never thought about this way. And by the way, I have friends, good friends, they are 15. And I have good friends, they are 60. And I have good friends, they are 50. And 30, and 20, and 70, and 80, and 75, and 35, and 68. And you know what I mean? You can sit down around a table, and it doesn't matter what age it is. You can talk and share hearts. You don't have it in the world. Do you? You know, you have your peers. And if you are talking, imagine you would be in a world and you want to talk to somebody who is 10 years younger. They would look at you bad. And you say, I have a good relationship with my brother. You're not supposed to in the world. It's not cool. But in Christ you can. You can have these relationships. And you can have such a trust. You know, holidays. Oh my goodness. We have so much holidays. What are you lacking? Bowing down to the tree? How boring. Somebody, we were, instead of Christmas, we had a camp and we were spending time with the children. And then we met with somebody who was celebrating in church. They were celebrating Christmas. And some of our kids were telling them, you know, and they tell to mommy, mommy, we don't want to celebrate Christmas anymore. We would like to go with them to the camp. You know, trust me, if there would be anything good, God would never deny it to you. You know, you can do so many things. We cannot give gifts each other. Really? Why not? We are not limited to 24th of December. You know what I mean? So don't get the devil deceive you, you know, with holidays. No personal opinions. Yes, of course we don't have personal opinions. Because it's terrible. It's terrible to have personal opinion. So many people, how do you raise up children? How do you do this? How do you do this? I mean, breastfeeding. They have a 1 decade. It's good idea. 1 decade, at least in Czech, it's bad idea.
Margarine and butter.
Eggs. Good for you, bad for you. Good for you, bad for you. You know? I mean, form your own opinion and you will find it on the internet already. Seriously. You know, how to raise up children. Spanking or not spanking? You know, it doesn't matter. Everybody has an opinion. And I'm lost in it. You know? What is good and what is bad? Should we go left or right? And so I don't want to have my personal opinions. I don't care for them. I want to know what is right. It's like, let's form personal opinion. You know, for example, give me some formula from school. 2 plus 2 is 4. Okay, what is your opinion? 2 plus 2 is how much? 4. Okay, well, okay, but you took his opinion. Don't you want to have freedom and form your own opinion? Why would you follow this guy? Why would you follow what I tell you in school? I mean, be free, right? You can form your own opinion. 2 plus 2 is what? 4? It's always 4? Yes, but... Is it? How boring. But now you're repeating. Now you lost your freedom now. Is it? Oh, okay. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to have my opinion. I want to know how things really are. You know, I don't want to form opinion how to live my life. I don't know. Frankly, it was scary to have kids. It is. It is great responsibility. And you say, how do I handle this? Will I know? Will I know how to treat it? Will I know this? Will I know that? But you will not. And if you go to internet, it'll be even worse. You know, people are ill. They go to internet. Oh yeah, fantastic. You know. You have all these things, you know, you have this little symptom and perhaps you have from runny nose to cancer, you know. Seriously. So, no personal opinions, thank you, not interested. I want to know how things really are. I want to find a source of truth. So, if the devil is saying you cannot form your opinion, I don't want to. Increased peer pressure. Yes, exactly, but from my side to them. We should increase it. Please increase your peer pressure. They need it. They need to be saved. Keep pressing. Amen? It's positive. Well, I don't know if it's the best example. But do you know this royal family a little bit? Maybe it's Europe only. But do you know this Kate Middleton? Yeah? Kate Middleton? Whenever she buys a dress, you know, this particular dress is sold out. Everybody wants to wear it. This is what I call the peer pressure from the right direction. So you should be influential in a way that whatever you do righteous, all your peers will try to mimic you in a good sense. Follow me as I follow Christ, said Paul. So increase, please, yes, hallelujah, increase your peer pressure. All right? Because you are the strongest. You are the influential. We have turned, by the way, with my wife, we are from the same school. We have turned the school upside down in many ways. The teachers, you know, a lot of stories. You create peer pressure. Not that the peers press you. You press them. Challenge them. Challenge them with righteousness. Challenge them with things. Increase peer pressure. Okay? Not free to do as you please. How come? You are called to do as you please. Delight? How is it? Yourself in the Lord, and He will give to you all the desires of your heart. You know, did you know we are supposed to enjoy ourselves in the Lord? It is not do's and don'ts. It is fantastic life full of adventure. Somebody said Christianity is boring. I don't know what they're talking about. It's fantastic. I mean, we have so many things to learn, so many things to do, so many places to go, so many things to achieve in the Lord. You know, not free to do as you please. Yes! But of course, if you please the wrong things, then it's not advisable to do them. Amen? So actually, surprisingly, you can do many more things than you would be able to do if you're in the world. Always responsible. It's challenging, isn't it? They are looking at you all the time. You know, they are looking at you all the time. And it is, I admit, it is giving you some pressure. But it depends how you look at it. You know, if you look at it from perspective of able to create peer pressure, if you look at it from perspective of you can influence somebody, then it's actually positive. It's actually calling, isn't it? Lonely. How does lonely go with never alone? Very simple. You don't see. Do you know the story from Bible where, you know, there was Elisha. There was Elisha and there was his servant. Well, actually, there was Elisha and his servant. And Elisha, the servant actually woke up in the morning and he noticed the army that surrounded them. And he woke up Elisha and saying, "Oh, what shall we do? Look at the army." What did Elisha say? He said, "They are more with us than against us." And he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And his eyes were open of the servant. And he see the hosts. You know, brethren, children, friends, if God opens your eyes now, you would see in a spirit. You would be surprised how many people there are now here. You would see the Lord. You would see angels sitting here, you know, listening, desiring, learning. You would see maybe some of the people you know and who are not with us anymore because they died and they are with the Lord. You would see maybe some of the people we have read about from last century. Maybe Paul is visiting us today. I don't know. I don't mean you, Paul, but I mean Paul the Apostle. If you only reject the devil's list and the devil's mentality, it will give you all the power not to bow to the devil and not to bow to the image. You know what I'm saying? Rise up your eyes. Rise up and see your calling and election. Because if you ride lonely, pray that God would open your eyes and you would see. Little freedom. Yes, seemingly you have little freedom like the royal family have. But in our context, you have all the freedom. You have more freedom than the people in the world, except of sin. But we know that's poison. So, if you say, "God, show me everything I have in you, show me the calling, show me who you are and who I am supposed to be," and then you realize that you are more free than the people. Tell me, let me, and I'll close with this.
I'll close with this. You know, bowing to the image. Do you know why people in the world are bowing to the image? Do you know why children are bowing to all the music, the celebrities, and all the other things? Everybody else is doing it, and they are not free. They suffer the peer pressure, and they look up at you when you don't need to. Let me give you one example that you understand what I mean when people don't have freedom. I was on training in business, you know, years back, 15 years back, maybe longer than that. And they are training us in something. And I'm talking adult people, 30, 40 years old, you know, engineers, good education, all these adult people. And this trainer was crazy in some way. The training was okay, sort of. But then he, during the breaks, he... Oh, can I have you, Ollie? During the breaks, he said, well, let's stretch. Come, please. He knows the story. And he said, well, okay, it's time to stretch, and for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, we'll be stretching. Whoa, that doesn't bother me, so we are stretching, you know. And he says, okay, let's walk in circles. So we walk in circle. Okay, it's a little silly, but okay, fine. And now you massage the person in front of you. Well, in case of Oliver, I wouldn't mind, his friend of mine. But they were men and women and strange people. So I kind of didn't. And I'm thinking about it. Thank you. I'm walking in the circle, you know.
Thank you.
And somebody's massaging me and I felt, this is weird. And he says, okay, now let's massage the, how do you call it, bum? Yeah. And they go and you take in front of you and you massage the persons in front of you. It doesn't matter whether it's male or female. You know the person, you don't really know the person. And I stepped out. And I said, what are we doing? And now you watch all the people doing it. And he came to me and said, are you okay? And I said, I am, are you? You know, and said, what do you mean? And I said, I mean, this is adult people and this is weird. And he says, well, if you don't want to do it, you don't. And I said, that's why I'm not doing it, but I'm surprised they are, you know. And he was upset with me for the rest of the training. Anyway, you know, I came to work the next day, and I'm making my tea in my kitchenette in the office. And one of these guys, 10 years older than me, he enters and he's fixing the tea. And he says, it was terrible, wasn't it? And I said, what do you mean? And he says, the training. Well, it was kind of okay, but the guy was weird. And he says, you know how we walked in the circle? And I said, yeah. And he says, I felt so bad. I felt so stupid. I felt so embarrassed. And I said, okay, why did you do it? And he says, I envied you that you have the strength to step out. So tell me, who was free? You know what I'm saying? We have all the freedom. I can choose. I can decide. You know, the people in the world, they don't have the freedom. They are like a sheep. They are going and bowing to everything and everybody. You think they have freedom. They are deceiving you. The Hollywood and all these things, they are deceiving you. That's not a freedom, is it? You know, they all go and they actually look up at you. And they hope. They can be laughing at you, but they actually are hoping that you mean it.
Amen.
They are hoping that it's true. They are hoping that you have the freedom to reject the pressure from outside. That you have the freedom to obey parents. That it's okay to be friend with your parents. That it's okay to be friend with your siblings. They cannot have it. They would like it, but they don't have it. And then when they meet, you know, when they are with you, I've seen so many stories. Kids are with our kids, and they start behaving normal. When their peers come, they start behaving stupid, because they don't want to look stupid in their eyes. And then some of them, here and there, they would come and say, I'm sick of it. I want to be free as you are. So surprisingly, you have much more freedom to be who you are in God. To wear things. To do things. You have the freedom to have relationships. You have the freedom to know truth. So, I wanted to show you a little bit And we could speak about the image, and maybe we will in the afternoon and evening. I don't know, but we will break now for lunch. I wanted to show you the deception of the devil, how he's lying to you. And I wanted you to realize that your calling, as well as the calling of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay, they were able to do things they did because they were fed at home by the high calling. They understood, regardless of being in Babylon, Egypt, Texas, mall, shopping mall, wherever you are, in the midst of that, they realized we are not part of the world. We are somebody else. We are somebody different. Amen?
Amen.
And you should walk, if I say proudly, can it be in? Can it be proudly, can it be positive in English?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So you should walk proudly in a positive way. Proudly in the middle of your environment, being aware of your calling. Amen? And say, Lord, help me to be not only walking right myself, but influencing others.
Yeah.
Help me to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the middle of the situation where everybody else is bowing down.
Yeah.
The music starts, everybody's bowing down. I have the power to reject.
Yeah. Amen.
Help me, Lord, that I would walk in a way that not only they are not changing me, not only they don't make me to bow down, amen, but actually I make them to bow down. Because the end of the story is that the king and everybody else were commanded to bow down to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's your job. Amen. If you don't bow down, they eventually will. God bless you. Plus, we should have a break for lunch. And then possibly, if we are already 6:30, we can start a meeting. We don't need to wait till 7. If you need to, we can start. Okay. And what about the afternoon? By the way, the whole business is about free choice. Okay? So I'm suggesting that we can gather here if you want. And I would recommend you have questions. You have questions. And we can sit here because quite a few people approached us and they said, we have questions. We have things gathered from the previous 2 days and plus today. We would like to discuss. Write them down. We can discuss it. So let's meet here. When do you want to meet here? 2 o'clock? It's 1:45. 2:30? 2:30? Okay. You said 2:30. God bless you.